that there is no agreement, even regarding the simplest matters, respect to time. This is Neil Turek, for people who don't know him. Since we do have people from different fields here, if you can just say your name the first time you speak, and we hope that people will speak often and avidly, because we hope we're here for a discussion, for a conversation. Is the lack of agreement, one might wonder, perhaps due to the fact that a sensible outlook has not yet been developed? Is it basic to physics that time progresses? Or does the set of world lines of all the particles comprise a great pattern which is frozen, as in the black universe? Must we think of the laws of physics as operating upon the present to produce the future? Or are they regularities which describe that great pattern woven by the world lines of the particles? Is it perhaps wrong to carry over the concept of time to a fundamental description of nature? These are all questions which I hope will come to the fore in these discussions. Now, with a little bit of ad lib, ever since I began speaking, I've been quoting. Does anybody know what I've been quoting? Any guesses? Where, when, who? I wouldn't be so gauche as to quote my own book. No, there was a meeting on the nature of time, which is a precedent for this one, held at Cornell University in May of 1963. And that was the opening statement by Tommy Gold. And I think as we begin our conversations, we should reflect on the fact that an opening of a conference on the nature of time 53 years ago fits an opening of that conference now. There is another precedent. Henri Bergson and Albert Einstein met for a debate on the nature of time in 1922 in Paris. And Jimenea Canales, who's not quite here yet, will be telling us something about that. Henri Bergson said, "Time for me is that which is most real and necessary. It is the necessary condition of action. What am I saying? It is action itself." To which Einstein responded, "It doesn't exist, the time of the philosophers." So we have lots to say. Our aim here is something unusual, is a conversation where we listen to each other, where we put forward our best point of view. We've invited everybody with an eye to the disagreements among us. It's true that we three organizers, have a point of view, which will become clear in the discussions. But we've made sure that the odds are stacked with even more articulate and learned people on the other side. We hope really to change minds. We hope that this becomes a landmark conference like the one in 1963 was intended to be, but somehow sadly was not, which marks the beginning of a convergence of views on the nature of time. Now, Marina Cortez will give some introductory remarks, and then Neil Turek, and then we're off for the first session.
Thanks, Lee. It's a big, big pleasure to welcome every single one of you here. This list of participants is the dream of any conference organizer. And we assembled it not in one day. It took us months to choose each of you individually. We didn't have an unlimited budget. So every one of you was here, was chosen for a reason. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your opinions. You were chosen to be speaking in a particular discussion in all the sessions. So we hope that everyone will speak. We really want to hear everybody's opinion. The other thing is there was going to be no talks at all. This was only going to be discussions. And there was also took us a couple of months also to discuss how many minutes would every participant with each introduction gets. So we wanted to have just a few provocations. The provocations, we wanted them not to be about your work, but if you can say something which you believe in and which you defend that is a bit controversial or provocative, if you can spark the discussion in your introductions, that was our aim. We couldn't have sessions and discussion without any introduction. So we debated fiercely, Roberto and Lee, how many minutes each of you was going to get to speak, which of these provocators. Roberto wanted 5, Lee wanted 20, and I settled for 10 plus 5. So it's 10 minutes strict, because the emphasis is really on the discussions. The provocations will get 10 minutes. The chairs are going to play an important role. And then you've got 5 minutes for any questions, and that is cannot go beyond that. It is also a big pleasure to have several communities united here, gathered. We have cosmologists, quantum gravity theorists, we have biologists and philosophers. So there are several things about these. I would like to ask you to keep your badges whenever you can, because we all know each other in our own community, but it's good to be able to identify famous names in other communities as well. When we are speaking, it's important that we explain technical terms. So if a discussion in the realm of quantum gravity arises, please, if you are not a quantum gravity theorist, ask dumb questions. Ask that technical terms be defined so that the discussion remains accessible to everyone. So Lee said a little bit already about why the program is organized like this. This is the way that we think about time. The sessions are organized, reflect several areas. How we organize our thinking, is time fundamental or is it an illusion? Where does the irreversibility in nature comes from? Is it also underlying in the fundamental description, or is it just an apparent feature? And also, we have an important session to do with, is time coming from complexity or organization? So biology is, we also wanted to hear about them. We have a session on the possibility of having several universes. If time is fundamental, then there is the problem of there being a preferred global slicing. We have a session for that as well. And very importantly, we have a session on the issue that causal sets, the causal sets community deals with, the becoming. If time is real, then the events cannot unhappen. And so becoming and causality. Okay, so you need to leave now. This is, yeah. So, yes, that actually it's very important. Don't be, we have put in sessions provocations from different points of view. That's the point of the discussion. So you will be in sessions together with somebody that thinks the opposite. And that's what we expect to happen. So Lee is going to start. Oh no, Neil will give our introduction remarks as well. Yes.
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you very much for coming. I'm sure as you all know, Perimeter is a very, very special place. We're distinguished from other centers of physics in several respects. We like to encourage courageous work, okay, not just more of the same. Quite frankly, the world over the last 30 years has seen a lot of physics work which is more of the same. We need less of the same. We need fresh ideas, And especially we want to encourage young people to do what people did 100 years ago and really be revolutionaries, because that's what the subject needs. So we encourage ambition, we encourage courage, we encourage intellectual rigor. But actually, above all, what characterizes Perimeter is a spirit of common cause. We're all in this together. We don't, we're not keen to promote individuals or our bandwagons, come to that. We want to approach the field in a spirit of humility. Nobody has all the answers. And we need more of a sense that, you know, somebody is going to come up with a good idea one of these days. Okay, it may or may not be me or you, but we can each play a huge role in encouraging the emergence of a good idea. And I hope that's the spirit of this conference. Nobody has all the solutions, but we're all here to help the emergence of new ideas, and especially to encourage young people to be brave and stand up and say they don't believe the common wisdom and they have a better approach, because that's what we need. Well, it's a paradox that the world today is in turmoil, and I'm sure everybody coming from Britain knows this especially well, with the US not far behind. I said that just to provoke. And at the same time, physics is in a golden age. It really is. We've learned more in the last 3 years about the universe than we have in the previous 30. We, of course, at the in the 90s, 80s, and 90s, we learned a huge amount about dark energy and dark matter. But then the last 3 years, which we've had this spectacular series of discoveries, the Large Hadron Collider, greatest experiment of all time, confirming the Higgs boson predicted by mathematical and physical theory 50 years ago, and then followed quickly by the Planck satellite, giving us the most spectacular picture of the universe we've ever seen, showing us its deep, deep simplicity, way beyond any current theory. Okay, our theories look so arcane and contrived and you know, in comparison to what the real world is telling us. We have to do better. And then, of course, this year, the amazing LIGO, advanced LIGO detections, the latest one just 10 days ago, showing us black holes and gravitational waves, and really opening a new window in the universe, which will allow us to probe the very earliest moments of the Big Bang itself. In fact, they already are allowing us to do that. So we live in a golden age for physics. It's very important for us to take confidence from that. You know, we are in a similar situation to the people in the early part of the 20th century. In fact, I loved Lee's comments, because it immediately came to me that we are in a totally different situation than the 1960s. They were on the verge of a confirmation, spectacular confirmation of standard, more or less standard, theory, going back to the 20s. They were on the verge of a spectacular series of confirmations of quantum field theory and particle physics and general relativity. And you know, that was the age of the coming to fruition of all the ideas of the 1920s, where field theory and GR and earlier were spectacularly confirmed. We are not in such a moment. We're in a moment where we've detected the dark energy, probably the biggest challenge to fundamental theory that we face. We don't know what it is. We don't know how to calculate it. We know it will dominate, it already dominates the universe. It will totally dominate it in the future. We have to address that. We also see very strong evidence now for the Big Bang itself, for the what came out of the singularity. We do not understand this extraordinary simplicity, the near-scale invariance, the almost perfect Gaussianity, And you know, these are very profound challenges to fundamental theory, which we should be trying to address. And so what I want to encourage everyone in this meeting to do is, at the beginning of your talk, spell out very clearly the contradictions or tensions in our current worldview which you are trying to address. Okay, I think this is an extremely fruitful way of making progress in physics. That's, after all, how Newton came to his ideas, how Einstein came to his ideas, how Maxwell came to his ideas. Faraday thought up the concept of fields. It is by thinking through what is wrong, what are the incompatibilities between current pictures. I really think we, in physics today, we need to spend more energy clarifying the puzzles and the paradoxes. And in my mind, such work is even more important than actually making new models or proposals, because we've had a ton of those, okay? Let's sharpen our ideas. Gedanken experiments, what happened to those? We've just had a spectacular month of quantum foundations with Yakir Aronoff giving us Gedanken experiment after Gedanken experiment. This is a wonderful way to approach physics. Not all of us can do it, but let me encourage you, at least try to sharpen the contradictions and tensions rather than claiming you know, your approach is inevitable. Secondly, we need radical and simple proposals. Simple, I emphasize. The universe is simple. It's the simplest thing we know. Okay, anybody who talks about time without thinking about the universe, in my view, is missing the whole point. We live in the universe, by the way. Okay, think about it. And we need simple proposals for resolving the paradoxes in physics, like the arrow of time and the deep puzzles of thermodynamics. We need simple proposals for resolving these paradoxes. So just to end, this is we're in a moment of huge opportunity for the field. Somebody is going to come up with a good idea one of these days. It's an opportunity for all of us to rise and support the emergence of new ideas. So I don't want to say any more other than that you could not be more welcome than you are today at Perimeter. Everything is designed to help you focus, enjoy the intellectual environment. If anything is distracting you from that, don't hesitate to complain to whoever is responsible, preferably not me. But we're here for you. We're here for the world. We hope you enjoy this, and we hope you will want to come back and actually solve this big puzzle. Thank you.